Hello, America and the world. This is Radio Free Markets, and I'm your guest host, Chris Opperman, sitting in for Michael McKay. We are behind the lines of socialism, my friends, and Radio Free Market is the voice of free people and free markets. Our topic today is Turning Students into Proponents of Freedom, the Courageous History of Free Market Education in Central America. We have two guests on our show today. Our first guest is Giancarlo Ibarguen. Welcome, Giancarlo.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for inviting me to be on your show.
Our pleasure. Giancarlo is currently the president of Universidad Francisco Marroquín, located in Guatemala. And our second guest is Mr. Dane Starbuck. Welcome, Dane.
Good afternoon, Christopher. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Thank you. Dane has visited the university several times and has gained a deep appreciation for its principled mission and the work of its faculty, administration, governing body, and students. He's also the president of an organization called Friends of UFM, an organization dedicated to supporting the work of the university. So, Giancarlo, let's start with you. Please tell us more about your background. What's your academic professional background? How did you become involved with the university?
Well, that's a long story. But by training, I am an electrical engineer. But by what I do, I consider myself an entrepreneur and educator. And I've been working with the university for a long time. Ever since the mid-1980s, even though my relationship with the founders of the university and the people around the university started much earlier than that. In fact, I was still in school when I started corresponding with the president founder of the university, Manuel Ayau. So it's a long story, and I don't want to take your time on that. But just it's of interest, I think, is the mission of the university and what has happened the past 40 years. With Universidad Francisco Marroquín.
Very good. Dane, would you like to tell us more about your own background? Because because you're from the States, so how did you get in touch with Giancarlo and the university and become involved in its work?
Christopher, in 2004, I was invited on the board of directors of Liberty Fund, in which Giancarlo is also on the board of directors. At that time, I sat next to the monthly board meetings, Manuel Ayau, who Giancarlo referred to, who was the founder and first president of Universidad Francisco Marroquín. And I had heard of UFM previous to meeting Manuel, or he was known affectionately as Musso, but at every monthly Liberty Fund board meeting, Musso would tell me more and more. And so in 2005, I had an opportunity to attend the Mont Pelerin Society meeting that UFM hosted. And it was that time that I visited the campus and met some of the faculty, met some of the students, and just was intrigued by the scope of its work and the great things that we're doing in the freedom movement. So that was my initiation to UFM, and I've been down there three times since. And each time I'm just always amazed at what it's doing.
Wonderful. Yeah, I mean, I myself have never been down there, but from everything I've heard and everything I've read, the thing that strikes me the most about the university, in particular, something that Giancarlo mentioned, its unique mission. I guess the way the school puts it is to teach and disseminate the ethical, legal, and economic principles of a society of free and responsible persons. That seems to me to be something that's pretty unique. I've never heard of a university that's based upon the ideals of spreading a free society, particularly in a place like Latin America.
Well, Chris, I think that every university has a mission. Not every university makes it explicit, but we do, because our founders had an intent with the university, and they wanted to transform a poor country like Guatemala. If you look at Guatemala, we are privileged in many ways. We are geographically privileged. We're next door to the largest market in the world, the United States. We have wonderful natural resources. We have wonderful people. So the question is, why are we still poor? And that's the question that bugged the mind of Musso and the founders of the university. why is still Guatemala poor? And that got them into reading and studying the work of the Austrian economists, people like Hayek and Mises. And they got themselves convinced that what needed to be transformed in a country like Guatemala was the ideas held by the intellectual elite of the country, the people who would eventually be able to transform the country into a freer and much more dynamic economy. So that's why Marroquín was founded. We don't know of any other university that was founded explicitly as we were, at least not in the early 1970s, Chris. So we're actually very proud of our mission. We're also looking forward to transforming our country. I think it's still a long way to do it. But there have been some signs of success in its short history of nearly 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, can you guys talk a little bit more about the influence that UFM has had on the contemporary political scene? I know you guys train a lot of future leaders in Guatemala, and I've also noticed that you guys also have some affiliated projects like the Free Cities Project and the Antigua Forum. Could you tell us a little bit more about those projects and how they influence and put into practice the mission of the university?
Well, certainly, Chris. We certainly believe that technology and education go hand in hand, and so much so that in the year 2001, we started video streaming free market conferences of people who had been visiting the university or of our own local professors. And I think Marroquín University was a pioneer doing this on the web very early on. So we've been able to influence, have an outreach outside of Guatemala. But in terms of public policy, I can tell you that the university does not itself get involved in public policy. But our expectation is that our graduates and people related to the university will be people of influence, people who will eventually be able to transform our country. And we've had our share of successes. For instance, in 1993, a group of people related to the university were able to pass through an amendment to the Constitution, an article which actually prohibits the central bank to loan money to the government. Wouldn't you like to have that in the States today? I think it
that would be something, wouldn't it?
And we also liberalized telecommunications in the mid-1990s, and the transformation was really dramatical. From having in the mid-1990s less than 500,000 telephone lines for the whole country, today with a population of 14 million people, we have more than 20 million telephone lines in the country. And we probably have the cheapest rates and about the best services in telecommunications in Latin America.
So, I mean, you're telling us, you know, these sort of amazing success stories, right, that the ideas of freedom and reality economics that are taught to students really do have an effect in the world and sort of really implement Musso's vision. I mean, I guess this is part one of the main reasons why he decided to start the university, right?
Exactly. Of course, the way we chose to accomplish our mission was to offer an education of excellence. One of our strategies is that if we're going to run a school, be it a school in economics or a law school, it has to be the best in the country. And it has to be the best in terms of academic excellence, in terms of the faculty, and in terms of the students. We're very selective with the students at Marroquín. We're a small university. We're barely 2,600 students strong, but it's hard to get into our university, and that really helps us address that intellectual elite I was mentioning earlier, Chris.
Well, and on that point, one thing that I've also noticed is that, you know, the university doesn't confine itself simply to disciplines like economics and politics. I see that you also have programs in law and architecture, even medicine. How does your vision, how does the mission of the university to be a university that teaches ideas of freedom and responsibility, how does that impact the way that that you teach all of these other disciplines and strive for excellence in each one?
Oh, that's a very good question, Chris. And we require a core of 5 courses, and they're actually free market courses. 3 are sort of like introductory and a seminar on economic topics, and 2 are dealing with the social philosophy of freedom. So we want our students to understand why, for instance, the market is not a zero-sum game. If only more people would understand that today, we wouldn't be having the problems that we're having in Europe or even in public policy in the States. So all of our students, doesn't matter whether you're studying medicine, architecture, or psychology, you have to take these 5 core courses on free markets.
And I believe Musso himself wrote a book, I think he called it Not a Zero-Sum Game, and it was all about how through the economics of reality and freedom, we discover, right, that the market is not a zero-sum game. It's actually the socialism and the statism of mercantilist policies that actually make us poor.
Oh, that's right. The book is titled Not a Zero-Sum Game. Our students read that book, and they also read another book of Musso called, translated into English, called Economic Process. It's our text. And you can read the text, but you can also see the author, Musso, lecturing on each of the chapters on our website. Those videos are in Spanish, but they're available for anybody to see and take advantage of. So for your Spanish-speaking audience, Chris, I would like to invite them to visit our website. It's ufm.edu, UFM, a.k.a. Universidad Francisco Marroquín, a.k.a. the University of Free Marketeers.edu. And then look for the new media webpage. And there you'll find thousands and thousands of hours, literally, of conferences on freedom, on free markets, the rule of law, and topics that we explore here at the university.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Dane, let me ask you a question. Coming from the perspective of the States and being from outside of Guatemala, what are some of the lessons and inspirations that you've drawn from your experience working with the university and seeing it as an example of how to promote the ideas of freedom?
I believe that Manuel Ayal established the university and the other founders to be more the typical university or the archetype of a university that a lot of the founders had established American universities, but that U.S. universities over time have drifted farther and farther away from those intentions or those principles. So that oftentimes what is taught in American universities is so distant from reality that it doesn't have the practical application that they should have, and therefore students oftentimes leave not knowing the core principles that Giancarlo shared that they should know about individual freedom, about entrepreneurship, about personal responsibility. These things are such core, but unfortunately they're not oftentimes addressed in American academia. So that's why I think that UFM actually can serve as a model that American universities should follow. I think that's one of our goals, is to promote UFM within the United States so that other universities will start looking at it and saying, you know, they're doing things right. They're causing the students to be thought leaders and to think things through as opposed to simply regurgitating the ideas of oftentimes their own professors. So I think it's a great example, a great model that I'm hoping that we can have other universities look at. And it's happening, and Giancarlo can speak to that better than I can, but we're seeing it.
And I think that even for those of our listeners that are no longer in universities or, you know, no longer in academia, I think that the story of Musso and the university he founded also contains a lot of useful inspirations, because particularly in cases in countries where free markets are not as well thought of and as respected, It takes courage to stand up for these principles. It takes courage to advocate reality economics. It takes courage to oppose the influence of the state. From your perspective, what are some of the great instances and examples that Musso and the other founders of the university have set of what it takes to be courageous to stand up for these principles?
Chris, were you asking me to respond to that, or Giancarlo?
Giancarlo, do you want to say something about that?
Okay. Certainly. You not only have to be courageous, especially if you think about the state of affairs the world over in the early 1970s. That's the time when Richard Nixon says, we're all Keynesians now. So you have to be courageous to be pushing an agenda, or not an agenda really, pushing a philosophy that was contrary to what most people believed in at the time. Most everybody thought that the new wave of the world was going to be socialism, or if not that, Keynesian economics. And Musso was courageous enough to go against that, especially in a small country like Guatemala that happened to be, at least in Latin America, in the middle of the Cold War. As you may remember, we had a pretty strong guerrilla movement fighting in Guatemala, and they were fighting not for freedom but for communism. So Musso had to be courageous enough even to take care of himself personally. He was not a few times threatened when he was pursuing the university. So that certainly serves as an example. But it's not only being courageous, but it's also being optimistic about the future. And it's being optimistic in the sense that you believe that ideas have consequences. And that's one of the theories of social change that we have in our own framework. We do believe here at Marroquín that ideas have consequences, and that if you're able to educate the future leaders of your country, you'll be able to transform your country for the better.
I was reading recently, there was a newsletter, I think, that I believe Friends of UFM put out that was talking about something that happened early in the 2000s when there was actually a report from a U.S. embassy that wanted to attack the image of Musso and the university. Can you guys speak to how that affirmed people's resolve to defend the ideals of freedom and to protect the university's mission?
This actually happened the months before 9/11, so at the time we were in the news in the States. There were a couple of op-eds published in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere mentioning how a U.S. ambassador, her name was Prudence Bushnell, she was not very prudent, but she decided to, pass along what was supposed to be sort of like an internal document of the embassy, talking about ideas and how influential Marroquín had been in stopping all political parties that wanted to promote, for instance, to increase government expenditure and to increase taxes. Can you imagine? The ambassador was furious because that's what she expressed in this document, or whoever wrote this document on behalf of the embassy, they would say, it's impossible to promote a fiscal reform in Guatemala because you will encounter the people from Francisco Marroquín that will always attack you on increasing taxes and reducing government expenditure. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Well, I guess if nothing else, it's evidence of how influential the university has been. To think that people had to resort to trying to push back and to try to attack the image of the university, I think it just shows how much the ideas that the university promotes have traction, how much they appeal to people, and also how much influence the university has had because of its emphasis on consistency, on courage, and on excellence. I think it's I think it's a sign that some of these changes that were part of Musso's initial vision were really coming to fruition.
Exactly.
I think there are, Chris, and you had mentioned earlier, two relatively new efforts that we're pursuing at the university. One is the Free Cities Institute, in which we're trying to promote the idea of poor countries like Guatemala. If they don't want to go all the way into transforming the legal system towards the rule of law, towards private property and markets, why don't poor countries in Africa or elsewhere in Asia or the world establish a small territory within their own countries where you will be able to apply those rules and let the markets flow and let capital investors from the world over pursue their own projects there. So that's what we're doing with the Free Cities Institute. And the other project that you mentioned, the Antigua Forum, we hosted our first forum in January of this year, in which we invited a group of 30-plus free market reformers from the world over. We had people from the Philippines, New Zealand, Canada, of course, the United States, a few other countries from Latin America, from Lithuania, from Poland, South Africa, the Ivory Coast, you name it. We had people from the world over, people that were either in the trenches promoting free market reforms or people who had done that in previous times. So we wanted to have a learning experience for free market reformers, and we had a wonderful time, and we learned a lot. And we hope to continue with this effort every year. And we have called it the Antigua Forum because it's celebrated in the beautiful colonial city of Antigua, Guatemala.
Fantastic. Dane, I have a question for you. As a dedicated supporter of UFM and someone that has truly recognized its capacity for inspiration and to serve as a great model for how to spread these ideas, what are some of the things that our listeners, our audience, can do to spread these ideas and to also support the university?
Christopher, one thing is to visit the website. The Friends of UFM has a website. It's not as complete or as thorough as ufm.edu, but it is a website, and we're trying to build it. We have, in the first year and a year and a half of its existence, Friends of UFM has held a handful of receptions. We're trying to do things like this, where we get on radio in the United States or do something publicity-wise so we spread the news about UFM so that more Americans are aware of it. It's been remarkable to me as I travel and meet with people who knew of UFM. It almost universally has been admired by those who know of it, those who have visited the campus, who have met its faculty, who have met Giancarlo, who knew Musso. I can't think of one that didn't have very complimentary things to say about it. Our challenge is to expand that universe so that more people, more thought leaders, more entrepreneurs, more people with resources can know about UFM and support it here in the United States. And we think if we can do that, we can make UFM have even a greater presence in the Western Hemisphere. And so that's our goal.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I just want to reiterate to the listeners that please, if you want to learn more about UFM and Friends of UFM, please be sure to visit their websites. As Giancarlo said, the university website has a huge host of online resources that are available for people that want to learn more about the ideas of the university and its mission. I want to thank Dane and Giancarlo very much for coming on the show and telling us so much about this wonderful place and this wonderful institution that's doing so much to spread liberty. Thank you both very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris, for allowing us to talk about something we're really passionate about. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Okay.
This is Chris Opperman and Radio Free Market. Please visit us on the web at radiofreemarket.com, where you can subscribe for free to all of our shows or podcasts. And until next time, wherever you are, please stand up for freedom. Thank you for listening. Okay. We're
okay.
Very good.
The recording's out. So, again, thanks very much to the both of you for doing this. It was wonderful.
Well, we certainly
want
to promote it. How do we know when it will be aired, or how when will it have the opportunity to be